Last week, we spoke about trust. We talked about an interpretation of the miraculous feeding of 5,000 men plus an unknown number of women and children as a story not of a miraculous multiplication of food, but of a miraculous multiplication of trust. Trust that people would share what they had. Trust that people would not take more than they needed, and trust that God would continue to provide. This week we have another story about trust in our gospel lesson, which continues directly from where we left off last week. Jesus has finally found some solitude for prayer. That was his original reason for setting out at the beginning of last week's reading. However, he was followed by the crowds. In the passage we read today, the crowds have dispersed and Jesus puts the disciples on a boat, sending them ahead while he goes alone to pray. There is a full sermon just in that, just about Jesus needing time to rest, time to recover, time to simply be in relationship with God. We live in a culture of busyness and distraction, a culture where, to quote comedian Bo Burnham, apathy's a tragedy and boredom is a crime. For many, taking time for ourselves is a luxury. For more, so often, taking time for ourselves means silencing the world immediately around us so that we can dive into the noise of places either far away, imagined, or both through a screen. Few of us find the space to sit quietly and look for God in the creation around us. Tonight, if our skies hold clear as the forecast predicts, could be a good night to start cultivating that practice in yourself if you can get a clear view of the northeast sky and set aside an hour or so to watch. Fight the urge to check your phones. They will ruin your night vision. And trust that God will provide on the other side of the wait for your eyes to adjust. That could be a full sermon, but our text continues beyond Jesus finally getting a moment to himself. Jesus casually sets out to rejoin the disciples, walking, I assume with some great speed, across the water to catch up to the disciples on the boat. The disciples see Jesus walking and are first afraid, wondering what spirit or ghost is coming for them. Jesus identifies himself and calms them, even calling Peter to join Jesus atop the waves. In a moment of faith, which here is another word for trust, Peter leaves the boat and finds himself first standing and then walking on the water just as Jesus is. It is important to acknowledge that Peter is doing it. Peter is walking atop the water right up to the moment that he starts to think about it. He notices the wind and begins to sink. Reading this, I cannot help but think of children first learning to ride a bike, of the cliche moment, that first ride without the training wheels, when a parent is running behind, holding up the seat of the bike to keep it upright. The parent with their hand on the seat feels the child find balance, perhaps feels the child pushing the bike faster than the parent can run to keep up with. The parent wants to show the child that they can do this on their own, and so let's go, and we all know what happens next. The child continues a few more yards before noticing the parent is no longer running along behind. The hand holding up the seat is no longer there, and the child falls. I cannot help but think about how many times all of us, whether we are trying something new, whether we are acting on our own as individuals or as a church or an office or a class or other community, how often we start something new and then we get in our own heads. We start to question, we start to doubt, and like the child on the bike, like Peter on the waves, we fall. We lose whatever faith and trust let us start, whatever faith and trust that carried us so far. This does not even happen to us only when we are trying new things. It does not have to be a new thing for us to lose our faith. Do we remember Simone Biles? All of her gold medals, all of her national championships were not enough, and Tokyo Olympics to keep her out of her own head, to prevent her from getting what gymnasts call the twisties. So she pulled out of the competition because, with all of her accomplishment, she did not trust that she could even land safely. I remember also a conversation I once had with someone who grew up Southern Baptist but married into our PCUSA. He was talking about his own journey from a starting point of skepticism toward these strange Presbyterians to a position where he was at the time of this conversation attending and volunteering with a Presbyterian church as something we might call an active non-member, before eventually joining that congregation and being ordained as a deacon. He said that one of the key moments on that journey was when he finally realized, in his words, Presbyterians do love Jesus. They just don't like to talk about it. I think that our not talking about it is because as Presbyterians, we remember too much our belief that we do not have a relationship with God rooted in our own uniqueness and particularity. We might believe it is arrogant to presume that we are special in the great breadth of God's creation, and so we keep quiet. Even as we say, as Paul does, that God is Lord of all, even as we say that God is constantly seeking and calling for a relationship with every human being. Not because of anything that individual human has done, but because of God's expansive love, we still set ourselves outside. We get hung up on our stumbles. We might love Jesus, but perhaps aside from Maggie, we do not truly trust Jesus to be there in all of our uniqueness and particularity. So when we stumble, we give up. We lose trust. We lose faith in ourselves, our ideas, our experience, our plans, our programs, and we walk away. To borrow from our music earlier this morning, we set out to follow Jesus, but then turn back when we feel the wind. We do not then connect our loss of trust in ourselves to a loss of faith in Christ or a loss of trust in God. We just want to read this gospel lesson today right up to the point where Peter starts to sink. Because we do not want to talk about what comes next. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" We hardly want to ask each other for help, much less God. We live in a culture that tells us we must always be busy, we must always do for ourselves, and we cannot burden anyone else with our stumbles. We live in a culture that makes it a challenge to ask for help, just as it makes it a challenge to take time for ourselves and our relationship with God. We focus on the stumble and don't look at what happens next. Friends, just over a week ago, Simone Biles entered and won her first gymnastics competition in over 2 years. Friends, when Peter called for help, Jesus answered. Friends, whatever your doubts, whatever your fears, whatever your problems, they are neither too big nor too small to bring to God. Thanks be to God.